I was talking with a woman this week who said that she really loved the Gospel of John, out of which we got our confirmation text this week, John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And she said the reason that she liked the Gospel of John so much was because John's feet are firmly on the ground, but John's heart is in heaven. And I thought that was a great way to discuss the Gospel of John, because everything in the Gospel of John has two meanings. Nothing is ever at face value. And when Jesus talks about being the good shepherd, he's talking about shepherds and sheep and that sort of thing. That's having your feet on the ground. But there's more to it than that. It's not just about shepherds. It's about following Jesus Christ wherever he might lead. So even in 2014, where we're not all that familiar with shepherding and the culture of shepherds, we still get what the point is. Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman about living water at the well, and she mistakes him, thinking that he is telling her about the water that is in the well. And Jesus is saying, no, if you know God the way I know God, if you know the Father the way I know the Father, then you will never be spiritually thirsty again. So everything in John has two meanings: feet on earth and hearts in heaven. And it's also true with John 14. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Well, think of the rooms you've lived in. You can tell a lot about confirmation age kids, and anybody pretty much, confirmation age youth or anyone, from what sort of room you have. You can tell what your favorite musical group is by the posters that are hanging on the wall or the video games that you find there. You can tell something about favorite music. You can tell people's favorite colors by the trim of the room. You can tell if you have been expected in a room or not. Have you ever gone to a hotel and they have forgotten your reservation and you open up the door into the hotel room and the bed is not made and there's dirty dishes sitting around in the little kitchenette sort of thing, and you call down to the lobby and say, I think I was not prepared for in this room. And of course, they apologize and they send you to a different room and make up that room at that point. But you can tell if somebody is expecting you or not. You can tell if the room has been made ready for you. And Jesus says, I am going. The reason I have to go, the reason I have to die and ascend back up to my Father, is because I have to go and prepare your room for you. Jesus is expecting you. And every experience where you honor him in this life, and every experience where you serve him in human life with your feet on the earth, will be part of that heavenly room. Every experience that we have in the here and now will be part of that room that Jesus prepares for us in heaven. And this is just as true for Nick and Sean and Miriam and Preston and Emma as it is for all of us. That in that heavenly room there will be photos that Jesus will have placed there, not just of your first birthday party and your first taste of cake, or Halloween when you were in second grade dressed up as Darth Vader, but there will be moments when you were in prayer and nobody else was around. Jesus will have pictures of that on the wall of the room. Or the moments when you served the hungry or were reading your Bible before falling asleep at night. And it won't just be pictures of you throughout your life. It won't just be flashbacks of things that you've done in your room, but there will be pictures of your acquaintances and everybody who got you to this point in your life, who got you to every point in your life. Because when you are a Christian, when you are somebody that believes in Jesus and that says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the people who acknowledge that, just as the five confirmands will in a few moments, when you acknowledge that and say yes to that, You are part of the largest family that the world has ever known, the Christian family. So there will be pictures of your great-grandparents and your grandparents and your great-grandchildren. There will be pictures of Moses and John and Peter and Jude, Ruth and Sarah, lining the walls of your heavenly room. In the Reformed Church, it's really important that confirmation also means First Communion. That's why we're having communion this morning. It's really important that one of your first acts as a full member of the church is communing with Jesus Christ. And we often talk about that, that communion is really important because it's relationship to Jesus. But it's not just relationship to Jesus. Communion also means, and you can see it in the word, community. And in the communion liturgy, in a few moments, we're going to say this. It's right in the prayer. We offer you our praise for women and men of faith in every age who stand as witnesses to your love and justice. With all the prophets, martyrs, and saints, and all the company of heaven, we glorify you, O God. And do you know why we say that? The reason we say that is because when you take communion, time stops. I love this sanctuary because there's no clock in here. It's almost like time does stop. Sometimes, even my sermons, it seems like time has stopped, right? For some of you who really know what I'm talking about. But you can't tell. I've been in churches where you know where the clock is. And the clock is right there, so that the minister doesn't forget how long his or her sermon is. But the reason we say that we are communing with all the saints and martyrs, prophets and witnesses, is because when you take communion, you're taking communion with everyone who has ever communed. Everyone who has ever tasted that bread and drank that cup. You are taking communion with everyone who has ever communed throughout time and space. You're having communion with everyone in the present, no matter what country they live in, no matter what language they speak. People who are on their deathbed this weekend, and people who have just for the first time taken communion in a little church somewhere in Nigeria. And you're also taking communion with everyone who will ever take communion until Jesus comes back again, until Jesus comes to us at the end of history. Time stops in the moment of communion. So the importance of John 14 is that when our feet are here on earth, our hearts are in heaven with Jesus. And that when you are confirmed in a few moments, when you participate in a few moments with the church, universal, we say in the creed, one holy Catholic. Catholic doesn't mean Roman Catholic. It's just an old word for universal. It means that the church is worldwide. One holy, universal, worldwide church. These five young people will be beginning their journey right here at this first step, and it actually is a step right there in the chancel. This carpet. And it's remarkable when you think about it, because what starts right here is a Christian journey and a Christian life that leads all around the world. You will have friends and acquaintances that exist all around the world just because you call yourself a Christian, just because you call yourself a believer in Jesus Christ, and you will be connected to people far beyond what you ever would have imagined or thought of. And maybe the only connection you have, you might not speak the same language, you might not listen to the same music, you might not live under the same kinds of governments, but you have brothers and sisters who believe in Jesus Christ as our only Lord and Savior. Confirmation is a great adventure. It is the beginning of something marvelous. It's not an end of anything. Confirmation is the beginning of a worldwide adventure. and it takes us places we never thought we would get to on our own. And Jesus walks with us every step of the way. As a matter of fact, as he says in John 14, he's going ahead of us, and we're to follow him. Amen. Please turn with me to page